Here we go. Associated Press, yesterday, last night. Four people may have died of a waterborne bacterial infection circulating in Hurricane Katrina's floodwaters, and health officials took steps Tuesday to stem a spread of the diarrhea-causing virus among refugees in Houston's Astrodome. The deaths appear to be caused by Vibrio vulnificus, a germ common in warm Gulf Coast waters that's usually spread by eating contaminated food, but that can penetrate open wounds as well. The deaths, one of a hurricane refugee evacuated to Texas, the other three in Mississippi, were attributed to wound infections, said Tom Skinner, spokesman for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which received the reports from officials in the two states. The reports underscore advice issued by federal health officials Tuesday. Rescue workers and anyone left in hurricane-ravaged areas should try to limit direct skin contact with floodwaters, seek immediate medical attention if they have cuts or wounds exposed to the dirty water, and wash their hands frequently. So that's obviously, folks, a significant change from what they were saying before. I mean, I heard all kinds of stuff. I heard things like, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about walking through the water. It's not a problem, but it's a good idea to wash. And then they said, well, you know, you can walk through the water, but if you have open wounds, that's probably not a good idea. Now they're saying, basically, that if you have to walk through the water, be sure to, avoid or limit direct skin contact with flood water. So they're basically saying, hey, you know what, if you can help it, just stay out of it. And if you do have any cuts or wounds that are exposed to the water, seek immediate medical attention. That's the kind of a warning, folks, that goes on a label of something that's poisonous. Call your local poison control center and seek immediate medical attention. We've all read those. So this is a big issue, and obviously this is a lot of things we've talked about in health-related field as of yesterday with Glenn Parnum from Super Silver. It goes on. Officials in Houston's Astrodome handed out alcohol-based hand sanitizers Tuesday to help prevent the spread of the norovirus, an easily spread cause of diarrhea and vomiting. Officials isolated some refugees with the illness, made infamous by recent cruise ship outbreaks, although they couldn't provide an exact count. There's no treatment except to keep sufferers hydrated. Normally it lasts a few days. Now, what's interesting about that is on my previous program, when they had all those cruise ship outbreaks, we said, look, this is quite obviously a vector check for disease. Now, if you think about that, put yourself in the shoes of the fictional Al-Qaeda organization, and here's what you've got. An opportunity to spread some sort of illness. It could be anything. Bird flu, super flu, swine flu, a combination of all of them. To go ahead onto a cruise ship, which has people from all over the world on various ships, and they're all eating from basically the same food supply. You get a job, and from what I understand, it's not necessarily all that hard to get a job. Not to say that those doing it are not qualified. I'm just saying. You can get on the ship. You can go ahead and hose down the food supply. And then if you have enough of an incubation period, these people will leave the ship, go to their various homelands all across the world, and just spread disease everywhere. Right? I mean, if you're a terrorist, that's an important point. And I talked with a terrorism expert, who I'm not going to name, who did tell me that that was exactly what they had figured out that it was, but they weren't reporting it. Now, we're talking about pretty much every cruise for a while was getting infected with this norovirus. Now, there's never been an official explanation for that, but you can see that the correlations between what's going on here and what was going on there. So what's going on here is you've got refugees from New Orleans, in particular, all over the country, predominantly in Texas and other areas as well. Now, some of the things that they're talking about now is that these health-related issues, some of them have an incubation period of up to 30 days, meaning that these people could go ahead, leave New Orleans, and go to wherever they're going and not even realize they're sick. Obviously, the people who are going to come down with this first, or be affected first, or be noticeably affected first, would be the elderly and the young. People who maybe have suffered more as a result of dehydration, malnutrition, and so on and so forth in the aftermath of the hurricane. These are big issues, folks. The other thing is now they're doing mandatory vaccination programs for all the people who are working there and the people who are being evacuated. This is exactly what we have talked about for days and days and days. The other thing to contend with is that a lot of these people aren't wanting to leave. Now, they're doing mandatory evacuations. That's the big story today. whether people want to leave or not, it's going to happen. But in the last couple of days, they've allowed a lot of people to go back to their homes. And they go to their homes and they're pulling out various things. Some of these things obviously have been sitting in contaminated water. And we talked about some of the things, some of the contaminants that were in it. ABC News yesterday had a fantastic story about these things. They had the human waste and animal waste, basically fecal matter in the water, 2.5 million times the amount. They said it's just unprecedented. And as far as the bacteria and things like that, 45,000 times, I believe is the... I don't have the story in front of me. 45,000 times the limit of what it would be deemed safe. So this is excessive. And it shouldn't come as any surprise. Like I said, we've talked about this. But now mandatory vaccination programs. This gels so completely, my friends, with the CDC's official clampdowns. SARS and whatnot. But anyway, let me get back to the story. Drinking water safety is also an issue in much of Mississippi and Louisiana, parts of Alabama. And the EPA sent a mobile laboratory to Mississippi on Tuesday to help assess that. More than 1,000 drinking water systems in the three states were affected by the hurricane. The CDC's Julie Gerberding sought to put to rest concern about disease from exposure to dead bodies in the flooding, saying the corpses are not infectious. She's also wanting to put down concern about diseases not typically seen in this country, such as cholera, saying it's not a big deal. Well, of course they're going to say that, right? You're trying to tell me that all these floating dead bodies are not going to pose a problem? Well, of course they are. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse, my friends. So anyway, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Wednesday. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you with us here, folks. Again, the things that we were speculating on, I guess, last week have come to pass. The things that we talked about yesterday, concerns that you should have about health-related issues in regards to things like Super Silver, have become even more apparent as today goes on. And if you missed yesterday's show, by the way, go to the RBN Archives, rbnlive.com, and you can listen to that, again, completely free, courtesy of the generosity of our benefactor, John Stattmiller. Let's continue. Doctors are being urged to watch for likely cases of diarrheal illnesses, E. coli bacteria, the easy-to-spread noroviruses that, while some life-threatening, can cause days of misery, or vibro vulnificus, cholera-like bacteria that every year kill more than a dozen Gulf Coast residents. But again, they are typically spread by eating contaminated food. But, you know, what are these living conditions like? Because even if you've got some more sanitary than they've had available as of late, types of conditions in these shelters, things like the Astrodome and whatnot, you still have a lot more people than you do bathrooms. It's okay to sit through a sporting event, but to live there in sort of an open forum like that, I don't know. Now, the other thing, too, is there are pictures coming out of corpses. They're not being reported in the American press, but they are being reported in the foreign press. In some of those pictures, you can see quite plainly that that these people have probably been, I don't know how to say this in the most compassionate way, probably been gnawed on by some animals. Okay, so that means that if there is any sort of disease type of situation going on, it is going to be spread not just by the water, not just by people who have been, you know, exposed to the water, not just by migratory birds that will be, you know, taking a break in the water, animals, and all sorts of things. And again, people taking stuff out of their homes. You know, oh, well, this was underwater, but it seems fine. I'll just scrape this black moldy stuff right off of it. I mean, these people are going to be shipped all over the country. We're heading into probably one of the biggest health crises that this country has ever seen, if not the biggest. This one, Associated Press, from last Thursday. Sewage and chemicals are mixing into a potentially toxic bathtub soaking New Orleans, posing a threat of disease for residents forced to wade in Hurricane Katrina's floodwaters. This is, again, all the way back to 6 days ago, John Pardue, director of the Louisiana Water Resources Research Institute at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge says, quote, whatever bacterial or viral diseases that people put into the system before the flooding is now in the water. Meanwhile, scientists say that they're alarmed by how much of the region's environmental defenses against future hurricanes and other big storms have become seriously compromised. This is obviously a big issue. Along with sewage in the floodwaters, a witch's brew of chemicals from a variety of sources, including leaking fuels and oils from gas stations and submerged cars, paints and solvents from small businesses, household cleaners, pesticides from people's homes, of course, other issues as well are some of the big factories. Pardue said, quote, people should not have an irrational fear of chemicals in the water. I'm more concerned about the viral and bacterial things. There's going to be a lot of gastrointestinal and public health issues, end quote. Obviously, he was right about that. And the drinking water is a big deal. Because they don't have any available. Sam Coleman, regional director for the EPA's Superfund Toxic Waste Division in Dallas, said he could not predict how long it would take to clean, disinfect, and then test the hundreds of small communities' drinking water systems that no longer work because of the loss of power. He said, quote, personally, I've never seen anything like this. No one has quite seen it this bad. So, for an official, I think those are pretty strong words. This one from the Third, Associated Press. About 40 people have been treated for vomiting and diarrhea, and doctors believe patients may have contracted dysentery because of tainted water. It's in New Orleans, or this is in Mississippi, by the way. Officials closed a shelter Saturday because more than 20 people there fell ill. So, amazing stuff right there. That's about 60 people, I guess. The shelter at Mary St. Michael's 7th grade school in Biloxi have been without water and power since the storm hit last Monday. 400 people have been staying there, and doctors said some may have ignored warnings to stay away from the water. According to Dr. Jason Deed, he's a volunteer, he said some water came back on Friday, but it was not safe to drink or even to use a toothbrush or to clean up with. Deed said patients started coming in around 2 a.m. Saturday with vomiting and diarrhea. Health officials were trying to get the word out about the water. Deed said, quote, don't even bathe in the stuff for now. We don't know what might be in it, end quote. Biloxi Police Captain Kyla Robert said only three police officers and a firefighter per shift had tried to care for the hundreds of residents for much of the week without electricity and water. Toilets then began to overflow. Robert said she had no idea what caused the illness, saying, quote, who knows what they swallowed before they got here. Half of them are swimming and stuff, and we don't even know what it was. Well, we're starting to learn what it was, what it is. Now, we've got this story out of Canada, which came out on Monday, which I alluded to it yesterday. We'll get into it when we return. Again, big, big, big stories here, folks, and some of them probably make you your jaw drop. Again, I can't stress enough how important it is to be self-reliant, folks. Take the necessary precautions now while you have the time, the luxury of time, and perhaps, hopefully, the finances to do this. Stay with us. Good morning. Welcome back. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome aboard. Check out the website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Phone number, 1-800-313-9443. I want to make a point here, folks. That website is free, by the way. You don't have to subscribe to anything. You don't have to do anything. It's information should be free. What you do with it is your own business. Let's keep going here. This is out of Canada, TorontoSun.com, from Monday. Normally, it says, one wouldn't expect a small environmental magazine in Canada to discover a shocking reality of the New Orleans hurricane disaster that seems to have escaped notice. It seems that a toxic landfill site on which housing was built in central New Orleans is now under floodwaters with the potential to pollute and contaminate portions of the Gulf Coast. Despite the overwhelming international coverage of Hurricane Katrina's lethal attack on southern U.S. states, it is the current issue of Solid and Waste Recycling magazine that has unearthed an environmental hazard that has the potential of being an underwater love canal. Something called the Agriculture Street Landfill, known as the ASL if you want to look it up, is located on a 95-acre site in central New Orleans. It is registered as a Superfund site on the federal government's national priorities list of highly contaminated sites requiring cleanup and containment. However, nothing has been done. Instead of removing the mass of toxic waste 50 years ago, the site was, of course, covered with clean soil, and houses and a school were all built on top of it. Not only was municipal garbage dumped there, but for decades, industrial waste from service stations, manufacturers, and chemical facilities were all dumped there as well. In the 40s and 50s, the site was routinely sprayed with DDT, but in 1962, some 229,300 cubic meters of excess fill was removed because of subsurface toxic fires that kept erupting. So in essence, basically, you know, a nice calm little hill, some nice peaceful classical music in the background. And then, bam, an explosion and fire comes shooting up out of the ground. I know. Doesn't sound like a very nice place to live. According to the editor of Hazardous Waste magazine, the ASL site, which is now underwater, will almost inevitably leach toxic effluent into the floodwaters with the potential of inflicting unpredictable damage on the coast and those who live there, a possible environmental catastrophe. The editor of the magazine used maps of the old ASL site and overlaid them on maps of today's New Orleans and found, quote, the old toxic landfill is situated right in the middle of a huge area of 3-foot-deep flooding, end quote. In the past, residents who lived in housing atop the landfill had complained about unusual cancers, ill-defined health problems, and even lobbied unsuccessfully for relocation. So, what's happening now? Again, all this stuff is, they keep calling it a toxic gumbo, a toxic cocktail, and all these other little witty names that they want to use on the media and whatnot. It doesn't change the fact that you've got a bunch of stagnant water, a bunch of chemicals and other sorts of environmental hazards all mixed together, in addition to human waste, animal waste, and of course corpses, fresh and old. That's about the best way you could put it, really. Again, New Orleans, as we talked about, buries their dead above ground in little mausoleums and whatnot. So again, they tried everything back in the day. They tried drilling holes in the caskets, flooding them with water, and then trying to sink them in the ground. They tried loading them with rocks. Nothing would work. Whenever a flood happened, these things would just burst out of the ground because of the air contained within and just go floating down the street. Well, obviously, when you've got anywhere from 2 to 20 feet of water in 80% of the city, or 90%, I guess, at one point what it was at, you could see how this is a problem. Now, obviously, they're pumping the water out. Where is it going to go? It goes in the Lake Pontchartrain, which leads me to this story from Monday, the Times-Picayune. Expect floodwaters, still saying the New Orleans air to be septic and smelling of hydrogen sulfide within the next few days, said John Pardue, who we sourced earlier, director of the Louisiana Water Resources Research Institute. Pardue and other researchers taking water samples at 26 locations in the city earlier this week found little or no oxygen. So they're also taking samples from Lake Pontchartrain, and he said, quote, the EPA has granted the Corps a waiver not to worry about the quality of water as they release storm waters out into the lake. By the time they pump the water out, there will be no oxygen whatsoever, and when it mixes in with the lake water, there will definitely be an impact, end quote. Meaning, of course, that it would have an impact on the fish and wildlife. He also said he expects there will be quite a bit of fuel in the water. Because of the importance of letting the public know what's in the water, he said, the data will be released immediately, and they're expecting either later this week or next week. Pardue said he hopes releasing the data will force the EPA and the State Department of Environmental Quality to release the results from similar sampling they now are doing. He said, quote, after 9/11, there's a lot of data collection and not a lot of reporting of the results of the EPA. If we do it, that's a separate independent entity doing it, and that will force them to release their information as well. Pardue said he expected significant environmental effects to result from the pumping of the contaminated stormwater into Lake Pontchartrain. EPA officials were criticized for their failure to release detailed information about the health risks from air contaminants, including asbestos and toxic chemicals, after the terrorist attack that caused the World Trade Center's towers in New York City to collapse in September of 2001. Translation. Okay, we're doing independent testing because we know the EPA is going to lie to us. Now, keep in mind, when they call it contaminated floodwater or stormwater or whatnot, that's not all that's in it. Obviously, we've covered that quite extensively. So, again, folks, be aware of these situations and do what you can to help yourselves out. This story is, we're going to look at sort of what's going on now in New Orleans area. This one from today, CNN. New Orleans' mayor has ordered law enforcement agencies to remove everyone from the city who is not involved in cleaning up after Hurricane Katrina, whether they want to go or not. Mayor Ray Nagin instructed all public safety officers, quote, to compel the evacuation of all persons, regardless of whether such persons are on private property or do not desire to leave, end quote. That's according to a written statement from his office. All right, regardless of whether on private property or not. So if you thought you had rights, guess what, you don't. If some reason you've been clueless up till this point about how these things work, this should drive home the point with a really, really painful nail that what you've got is no rights whatsoever. You do not have the right to private property. You can't do certain things, okay? You can't not pay taxes. You can't just live on your property without them asking for something in return. We know about the eminent domain ruling. The one in New London, Connecticut, which took evicted several people, I think six, seven families, something like that, from their homes to build what? Guess what? A Pfizer facility. So, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is basically evicting people because it behooves the community to have more taxes coming in as a result of these new construction projects. So what you've got, obviously, with that situation is criminal activity, folks. And we've covered this before, but a brief recap for those who don't know what the heck is going on. In New London, they basically wanted to remove these people, not for the public good, as typically has been utilized in eminent domain situations, but this one for private development. Because that private development would be, obviously, more industry would come in, taxes, jobs, things like that, and it would look cleaner and nicer and newer. So, anyway, it was tied up in the courts for a while. In 2005, I guess it was, maybe 2004, they ruled on it and said that, yeah, they can go ahead and take your land from you for private development. So these people basically got ousted. Now, the damnable thing about it is that they're charging the people the back rent. They're charging people any money that they made off the property that has now been deemed to be state-owned for the last 5 years. They have to give it to them as well. And, of course, they're giving them the value of the property as it stood when the case was filed in 2000, as opposed to what it is now in 2005 after we saw these increases in property values. Now you're saying, okay, what the hell does that have to do with New Orleans? Everything! New Orleans is a city that operates almost completely and totally on tourism. As I said yesterday, you look at the way they price gouge for the different festivals and fairs and get-togethers and gatherings, and not just Mardi Gras. But, I mean, if you look at, if you were to go to like a New Orleans-based sort of tourism website, something that had to do with city activities and different events going on, you'll see that they're pretty much almost every weekend. And when those aren't going on, you also have business conventions coming into town. Lots of people going down there to party and look at buoys. So these people are all out there filling up all the hotel rooms, and they price gouge. And then, of course, you go, anybody who's ever been down there on Bourbon Street, you know that there's, in addition to a cover charge, you got to have a three-drink minimum per set for the bands, and each drink is like $8 a piece. That's where they make all their money. So in the interest of rebuilding, in the interests of this, the future of the city, if there is to be a future in the city, they have to make their money on tourism. Meaning what? That a lot of this rebuilding money is going to be acquired to rebuild the tourism industry first. It's more important that the tourism industry is reestablished so that the rest of the city can make money before. This is a priority over the people who lost their homes. You have to understand that. It's just like an eminent domain type situation. And again, you know, everybody's looking at Walmart. And yes, you can go ahead and quote me on this. I think Walmart has done some great things in the result of this aftermath. And I've never said Walmart has done anything good. I love the people who work there. They're fantastic. But the corporation, it sickens me. But they've done some really good things. And you're like, wow, this is great. Everybody's coming together. Trust me. Who is Walmart's target customer? That's right. All of us. The disenfranchised poor of this country. So in that regard, those are the people they're trying to take care of, because that's their customer base. Okay? So don't be surprised if Walmart says, hey, you know what? We can really help out with the rebuilding process. Why don't you knock these homes down and we'll build a really nice Walmart supercenter that's going to have lots of great things like a McDonald's in it and blah, 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 bank, optometrist, you know, all the other crap that they have at these Walmart supercenters. So basically what I'm saying is that a lot of the funds allocated to rebuilding process will go first and foremost to the tourism industry. Watch for that. So these people who have been kicked out of their homes probably not, will not be going back. And some of them probably realize that and don't want to leave. So hence, when you've got this written order from Mayor Ray Nagin's office down there in New Orleans compelling people to leave, regardless if they're on personal property, this is criminal. Now you could say, well, it's not safe. I agree, it's not safe. But the point is that since when do we have the government regulating our own common sense issues when the only person being affected is us, right? If you choose to be a drunk, hey, you can be a drunk in this country. Can't break any laws while drunk, and it's not an excuse, but you can be a drunk. It's perfectly legal. If you choose to smoke, even with all the health warnings and all the different things that come out about how horrible this is for you, you can still do that in this country. And the only one being harmed predominantly is you. You can say, oh, secondhand smoke. Well, I tell you, you're an idiot, first and foremost, because, again, And this, trust me, there's a lot of idiots out there who are blowing smoke in their kids' faces and things like that, you know, just because they're holding their kid while they're smoking, because they can't go 5 minutes without smoking. But the point I'm trying to make here is that there are ways to pretty much avoid secondhand smoke. You go outside, and the facilities, most of them now, are smoke-free anyway. So the point I'm saying is that mostly you're the only one affected by this. So if you choose to stay, why shouldn't you be able to? If you get sick and you die, well, that should be your problem. But anyway, they're going to be forcibly removing people within the next, I believe they said, 48 hours. Story goes on. Many residents have refused to leave New Orleans despite a mandatory evacuation and warnings from government officials that staying in the flooded city represents a health risk. Meanwhile, a majority of Americans believe the city of New Orleans will never completely recover from the disaster, according to the results of a CNN USA Today Gallup poll released Tuesday. 56% of 609 adults polled by telephone September 5th and 6th said they believe the hurricane devastated the city beyond repair. So now it's just a challenge here. It's like a testosterone challenge. Most Americans think that New Orleans will never be rebuilt. Well, guess what? Now we have to. Now it's got to be done. So we got to get the people out so we can get this thing started. Got to spray. The mosquitoes up there are unbelievable. For people that I've talked to in the Baton Rouge area, they said this is unreal how many mosquitoes they have already. And keep in mind, they were all killed off because of the rains and the winds from the hurricane. Or displaced. And mosquitoes, typically, they don't leave. They don't travel very far. Wherever it is, whatever stagnant pond of water that they were born in, they tend to hover around that. This is still going on. This is a big issue. It will become a bigger issue. Story says, rescue workers say many holdouts have insisted on staying in their houses or makeshift residences rather than obey the mandatory evacuation order Nagin first put into effect on August 28th, the day before Katrina crashed ashore. The standing water in New Orleans is contaminated with E. coli bacteria, a highly placed official in the New Orleans mayor's office told CNN Tuesday. U.S. Surgeon General Richard Carmona said conditions in the city are, quote, really unsafe at this point, end quote. Police Superintendent Eddie Compass told CNN, quote, these citizens will have to be removed for their own good, end quote. Well, there you have it. The federal government says, for your own good, we're going to do this. For your own good, we're going to do that. This is criminal. I don't like the fact that common sense can be legislated. I never have. Story goes on. The mayor also fiercely denied rumors he had ordered relief workers to stop delivering water to those who refused to evacuate. The toxic nature of the water is evident from the smell of garbage, human waste, and rotting corpses, and the slick sheen of oil, gasoline, and other chemicals on the surface. So, rotting corpses. But there's no infection. They're rotting. There's nothing to fear. Point I'd like to address really quickly here. This is the mayor, Ray Nagin, fiercely denied rumors he had ordered relief workers to stop delivering water to those who refused to evacuate. That's today. Monday, Associated Press. Mayor Ray Nagin said that authorities were going to try to persuade people to leave. Officers will no longer be handing out water to people who will not evacuate, the mayor said. Liar! So when you've got this, the written statements coming out of the mayor's office, that's fine. But when he's like, I didn't say that. Really? Because according to this, you did. Did he say that? It's possible, because here what he says here in the first story is that he said he did not order relief workers to stop delivering water to those who refused to leave. And then the story from Monday, it says, officers will no longer be handing out water to people. So what he could say is, I didn't say that relief workers wouldn't. What did you say? That officers won't?
Well, yes, I did, as a matter of fact. But relief workers can still hand out water, just not officers.
Well, we know that the officers predominantly have been evacuated for the most part. So, this is typical politician doublespeak. Don't think for one second that these people are going to get treated well. Now, I've got a story that I was going to sit on for a while. I have a friend who I'm going to try to track down to be on the show tomorrow. He is probably the most talented photographer I've ever seen, and I've known quite a few in my time. This guy is unbelievable, and he's a local guy. And he's dealing with, trying to help out as well. He's got some photographic prints he's going to be making available, all the proceeds going just to relief efforts. But anyway, there are stories that a lot of photographers, photojournalists, cameramen, and whatnot, are being assaulted in the city. And they're not being assaulted by looters. And this story, again, I've had it for a couple days now. They're not being assaulted by looters. They're being assaulted by police officers. So, apparently there are some photographic evidence that they don't want out there. So I'm going to try to make sure that we get some of these pictures posted on the website so you can see them for yourselves. Quick break, my friends. We'll come right back with more Frankly Speaking Radio after this. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I know a lot of you are on the phones. We'll get to the phones in just a second, but you're going to want to hear these stories. This one is from the... what is the... trying to figure out if I find the name of the actual organization. The National Press Photographers Association. Here's what it says. As photojournalists continue to document the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina's violent assault on the Gulf Coast today, they also found themselves documenting new violence and death among the survivors, the refugees, and the looters and police and rescuers in New Orleans. While some photojournalists even fell victim to the violence themselves, a reporter for the Times-Picayune in New Orleans is still missing and has not been heard from since last weekend when he was sent to Mississippi to cover the storm. Two veteran photojournalists, MPPA member Rick Wilking of Reuters and Getty's Mark Wilson, were robbed of cameras and computer equipment today while on assignment in a neighborhood in New Orleans. A photojournalist and a reporter were confronted at gunpoint and slammed against a wall by police officers following a shootout between looters and cops that left at least one person dead. Lucas Oleniak of the Toronto Star was knocked to the ground by police, his gear taken from him initially when he photographed them shooting at looters and then beating one. In response to the growing violence and increasing sense of despair among the stranded survivors, some television networks have hired armed private security firms to protect their journalists as they work to cover the story. So there you have it, folks. It's just a huge, long list of incidents like that. I told you that there was a reason why they were having a mandatory evacuation. Now, we know there was a mandatory evacuation before the hurricane hit. Understand. But, what, a day, 2 days after, they said, we want everyone else out, too. And when the Times-Picayune left, I said, well, this is strange. These people should be there the most. But they were telling the media, too, that, you know, we want everybody out of here. And I said, watch for this. This is something that they don't want necessarily a lot of this televised. And I told you, watch for the way these things are going to be televised. And we're seeing it. We have been seeing it. And what you see, for the most part, is it says new video. Okay, new video is what it'll say at the top of the screen. It doesn't say live. And when it says new video, it'll be a video of, like, when Bush was down there. It's a new video, and it showed Bush, like, hugging survivors. Now, you could say, well, you know, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense at all. New video. That means that it has been heavily doctored, edited, censored, and so on and so forth to make sure that, you know, somebody, yelling things at Bush or, you know, trying to go after him, whatever the case may be, people throwing things, people booing, people, you know, catcalling. They can go ahead and clear all that out and say, all right, Mr. President, take two. And they record it again. But the interesting thing, the most interesting thing and the most obvious example of how all this stuff is being heavily censored for your consumption is the fact that when they're showing, quote-unquote, new video on CNN, they're showing the exact same, quote-unquote, new video on Fox and MSNBC and Headline News and all the other 24-hour news networks. They're all showing the same video. And guess what? They're showing it at the same exact time. So, you know, you could flip station to station to station, and it's all happening. It's all been sequenced together. Okay, so they're all showing it from the same point of view, meaning, in my opinion, and these videos were not sort of just sent out, but there's just a feed that these networks can tap into, and they all tap into it at the same time when they're told to. The president's on the ground. Turn it to channel so-and-so and pick up this feed here. And starts in 30 seconds. They're like, oh, we just got word. The president is on the ground, and we've got some video we want to show you. New video, not live footage. And now we get reports that photojournalists, photographers on the scene, having their equipment confiscated, And whatever the whatever else, maybe just their film taken out of their camera, but all because they were documenting various things. And like I said, we've got photos that Webmaster James hopefully will get posted of some awful photos. You may not want to see it, but maybe you should. Stay with us, folks.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some...
Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whelan. So much news, so little time. We'll get to these phone calls, folks, in just a minute. Be patient, if you would, please, because I know I want to hear from all of you. I know you got some good stuff. This one today, CNN.com. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention said Tuesday that five people have died in the area hit by Hurricane Katrina after becoming infected with Vibrio vulnificus, typically a more benign relative of the bacteria that causes cholera. One of the fatalities occurred in Texas. Other four were in Mississippi, said CDC spokesman Tom Skinner. So an update from the previous story we just brought to you, there's been five deaths, not four. And it's cholera-related. This is something that they knew to watch out for. Also yesterday, a passenger aboard a plane carrying evacuees from hard hit Katrina apparently tried to commit suicide Tuesday using a razor blade to slit his wrists, said an airport official. Now that's tragic enough. People trying to kill themselves, people actually killing themselves. This is not the first thing. Police officers have been shooting themselves in the head. People have been jumping off the upper levels of the Superdome. Suicides, not all that uncommon. Also, of course, I think what's key here, listen to this. A passenger aboard a plane tried to commit suicide using a razor blade to slit his wrists. Anybody see a problem with that? Anyone? If you don't, you're too stupid to listen to this program. Turn the station now. The plane flying from Houston to Washington, D.C. made an emergency landing in Nashville. The passenger was taken off the plane and driven away by ambulance to a hospital, said the official. His condition not immediately known. Obviously, what I'm referring to is the fact that they had razor blades on an airplane. CNN. Yesterday, also. The Marriott hotel chain said it has about 1,800 workers from its New Orleans hotels that remain unaccounted for after Hurricane Katrina and is canvassing shelters across the region to find them, said a company spokesman on Tuesday. 1,800 people. That's a lot. And as I said, as of yesterday, the database of missing persons is at 94,000. This is a sick story from Yahoo Ireland News. Yesterday, a group of female hurricane survivors were told to show their breasts if they wanted to be rescued. A British holidaymaker has revealed. Jed Scott watched as American rescuers turned their boat around and sped off when the women refused. How about that? Is that unbelievable? I mean, I know this is New Orleans and all, and I know the chant, and I know the bead situation, but they're not exchanging beads for a glance at the goodies. They're exchanging rescue for a glance at the goodies, or else nothing. These are police officers, folks. The account was just another example of the horror stories emerging after the hurricane, from the hurricane disaster zone. Jed Scott, age 36, of Liverpool, was with his wife and 7-year-old daughter in the Ramada Hotel when the floodwaters started to rise. At one point, there were a load of girls on the roof at the hotel saying, "Can you help us? Can you help us?" to the policeman, who responded with, "Show us what you've got," end quote. They also made signs for the girls to lift their T-shirts, he told the Liverpool Evening Echo. When the girls refused, the police officer said, quote, "fine," and motored off down the road in their boat. At one point, Scott had to wade through filthy waters to barricade the hotel doors against looters. He said the experience made him want to vomit. He said, quote, "I could not have a lower opinion of the authorities from the police officers on the street right up to George Bush. I couldn't describe how bad the authorities were. Little things like taking photographs of us as we were standing on the roof waving for help for their own little snapshot albums," end quote. He did say, "I wish I could say the same for the American authorities, but the American people saved us." So just people. Regular people doing amazing things. This was a story from last Thursday that was brought up yesterday. I just wanted to give this to you here. Lone Star Times, September 1st. According to Harris County Judge Robert Eccles, the Houston Chronicle is expected to run a story in the morning stating that the Astrodome will be home to about 100 prisoners from New Orleans. This is what we're talking about. They took the prisoners to the Superdome during Hurricane Katrina, and they were allowed to mingle freely with the population. When it was time to leave, New Orleans police were shocked to discover not all the 100 prisoners wanted to identify themselves as being prisoners. Yeah, big surprise. Stay with us.
Are you one of the mill?
Kind of a disturbing situation here, just developing. I don't really understand all the particulars of it. I do know that as we were sitting here, everything basically just went down. So we are back up barely and still trying to sort of piece everything together in the aftermath of this little power outage thing that we
have experienced here in northwest Arkansas. Everything went down in the whole building, and I don't know. It came back up and then went back down again. So I don't know what the heck is going on, but I am on the phone, and if I need to, we'll continue to do this. But isn't it amazing? I mean, I don't know how many shows on RBN have these kind of technical problems, but it's not necessarily things that we can control, but they always seem to happen on this show. I don't understand it. Maybe there's information that's just too important to allow these things to go through. But guess what? We'll find a way. This one, last story, and then we'll get to all these phone calls, okay? I promise, folks. Shelbyville Times-Gazette, September 6th, yesterday. A co-owner of the Shelbyville-based Goen Smith Chapel has been deployed to Gulfport, Mississippi to help with recovery since Hurricane Katrina. His business partner here has described the grim task that is being undertaken there. He said, Dan Buckner, quote, DeMort is telling us to expect up to 40,000 bodies, end quote. Dan Buckner is quoting officials with the Disaster Mortuary Operation Response Team, that's DeMort. He said, quote, the 40,000 estimate does not include the number of disinterred remains that have been displaced from mausoleums, end quote. That, of course, means the bodies that have been buried there. Since New Orleans is below sea level, in-ground burial is impossible, he says. Public health protection and identification of bodies are tasks for DeMort, said Buckner. Teams include morticians, medical examiners, coroners, pathologists, anthropologists, odontologists, dental assistants, photographers, police, DNA, X-ray, evidence, fingerprint, mental health, and computer specialists, and others, such as heavy equipment operators. Buckner said, quote, my personal opinion is they'll be recovering bodies for 30 to 120 days, end quote. Now, keep in mind, if that is accurate, they haven't even begun, okay, to start pulling bodies out, recovering bodies, because they're doing a mandatory evacuation now, saying people have to go, which means that this is going to be going on for 1 month to 4 months. And Buckner says, quote, that is because of the, quote, sheer destruction, the rubble that will have to be removed to find bodies in attics and yards and the water. He said, quote, people were told to go to their attic, then the water came up and they had no way to escape. Firemen chopped holes in the roofs and found bodies without anything to do for them. They all moved on, he said. So these are the kind of issues that we're going to be dealing with for a very, very long time. That having been said, speaking of very, very long time, some of you have been waiting extraordinarily patiently, and I appreciate that. So let's get back to you guys here on the phones. Our number, of course, 1-800-313-9443. And I want you to remember that number because we have two guests today. Jim McCanny will be joining us to talk about weather modification, and Kevin Trudeau will be joining us to talk about his book, Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. So there you have it. That having been said, let's check in with our good friend Drew in Arkansas. Drew, welcome to the program. Drew, welcome to the program.
Do not wish this life to pass away, for life presents not a question.
All right, welcome back. We're going to try this again here, folks. I don't know what the hell is going on. What are you going to do, right? Anyway, let's try some phone calls here if we can. Drew in Arkansas, welcome to the show. Okay, I guess Drew isn't there. Let's move on. Let's go to Al in Colorado. Al, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Frank. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Well, you know, as you were opening the show this morning, I had started to look at the Jeff Renz's site, and the most incredible one of the stories headlined on there is Bush admits there are now 8 states with illegal immigration invasion problem. And this is the idiot who could have stopped this.
Hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
8 states with illegal immigration problems or invasion or whatever they call it.
Now, first of all, that shouldn't be surprising to you at all.
Well, I mean, this is the man who's allowing it to happen. Why is he surprised?
Well, because, I mean, in what context is he saying it's a problem?
Well, if I didn't, you know, I looked at it cursorily. I didn't really look at the, I didn't look at the whole article.
Right. Well, what I'm saying, though, is that it's very possibly saying, We have
Bush admits eight states have an illegal immigration problem.
Yeah, well, he could be saying that those eight states have a problem in that there aren't enough facilities to handle all the illegal immigrants that are welcomed in.
But he's the cause of all this.
Oh, I know this, but all I'm saying is he's not going to...
This is what is the insanity of this.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm sorry, these are the people we have running the country.
Yes.
Why would this man be surprised or admitting that there's... the man who's caused the problem is admitting the problem. Now.
Yes, he is. And but again, you know, we got to figure out what context he's talking about it being admitted to. Because it wouldn't surprise me if he's saying, well, the problem is that we need more money to handle this situation.
Oh, here we go with the money again.
Or we need more, you know, we need to fast-track the guest worker program. Or, you know, we need to just outright open the borders. I don't know.
I hear the
music. Let me get you to hang on. Folks, a quick break. We'll come right back after this with hopefully a better and more consistent audio quality of our Wednesday program. Just chock full of disasters on our own. Stay with us, my friends. We'll be right back. I got it.
Hey!
Welcome back. It's Wednesday.
I got something.
You know, it's probably a good thing that I'm not one of those snobby, stuck-up talk show hosts who's going to sit there and throw temper tantrums and yell at everybody, because Clint and I were just having a laugh, just kind of shrugging our shoulders, saying, you know, this is the way things go. It is what it is, right? Anyway, we're going to get back to the phones here. We got a good 35 minutes to talk to whomever, 1-800-313-9443, and let me say this, folks, keep that number handy. I've got a lot of guests today that we need to talk to, and hopefully we'll give you guys a chance to chat with them as well. But, I'd like to welcome all of our listeners joining us all across the country, across the world. A lot of micros back up and running and carrying the program again. Welcome, and thank you again to all of you who deem this program worthy of your valuable airtime. Hopefully we won't let you down. But if you're relatively new to this, keep in mind it's pretty easy. It's just an open forum for the most part, and we go anywhere we want to go, and that's what we're doing right now. 1-800-313-9443. Back to Allen, Colorado. Al, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, we're back again. Boy, we got some real problems this morning with this communication.
So it seems.
Sounds like the powers that be don't like Mr. Whalen.
Big shocker there.
Yeah. Real news, huh? The fact that George Bush, for the most part, has caused this over the last 5 years and now is coming out and saying that we have a major problem. You want to strangle these people, don't you, Frank?
No.
You don't? You want
to
kill them?
No, I don't want to do anything to them. They don't matter to me. Look, here's the thing. George Bush and all the other politicians,
garbage.
They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be criminals. They're supposed to swindle the people. And they're supposed to make you care about them. Either love them or hate them, they're supposed to make you care. And I choose not to care.
You know who H.L. Mencken was? He was a writer in the 20s.
No.
And he said the aim of practical politics is to keep the people off balance so that the politicians can come in and, do the Hegelian deal.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense to me. Amazing that, that was figured out in the 20s.
Yeah. The 20s this was talked about.
Wow.
So,
that's amazing.
I think, Frank, that New Orleans probably should be totally evacuated, and I don't know. Is it possible to move the city north, Frank, at all, to rebuild it and just maybe tear everything down? And
That's one of the things being talked about.
I can't see them rebuilding it under sea level again. It would be the biggest waste of money ever.
Not really. I mean, there's and I'll have to check with someone who's a little more geographically inclined than I am. Yeah. But if I'm not mistaken, there is a country over there. Maybe it's the Netherlands, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, but they have good dikes and stuff, though.
Well, yeah, but of course they do, because theirs weren't built in the 1800s, like New Orleans's were. So, you know, I mean, I'm just saying that technology, you'd think, in the last 100-plus years would afford for some new opportunities.
You disagreed with me last week about the fact that Bush, Bush had cut the funds for the levees and stuff. We do have a rotten infrastructure in this country.
I didn't disagree that he did it. I know he did it because we had reported it. But
yeah.
What I'm saying is I disagree that it wouldn't.
It would have made any difference.
I don't think it would have made a difference because what we're talking about here is the difference, I mean, between a sustainable impact from a hurricane Category 3 versus a Category 4.
whereas this was virtually a 5. It was. It would have been a 6 at one point if they had that on the scale.
And now you say there's 2 or 3 more yesterday are forming now in
there. Yeah, actually, I'll tell you what, I'm glad you brought that up. Let me bring this up real quick here, folks, because this is an important issue. This one today, CNN.com, freshly named Tropical Storm Orphelia is moving slowly towards the northeastern Atlantic coast of Florida. On Wednesday, said forecasters, threatening to drench the state with up to 8 inches of rain, in some areas possibly 24 hours. Within 24 hours, Ophelia intensified to a tropical storm early Wednesday with maximum sustained winds at 40 miles per hour and higher gusts. As of 5 a.m. Wednesday, the storm center was located about 105 miles east of Cape Canaveral, Florida, moving north-northwest at near 8 miles per hour and expected to continue in that direction to slow down and possibly strengthen within the next 24 hours. So the tropical storm warnings, tropical storm watch, and other areas. And it says, meanwhile, tropical storm Nate, which initially was forecast to pose no threat to land, is now on track to pass near or just south of Bermuda later this week, said forecasters today. So, yes, to answer your question, yeah,
well,
more issues.
Well, Florida and Georgia now are going to get a little drenching now.
Yeah, and of course, if you look at something, if it goes straight across Florida, where's it going to end up?
Well, straight across?
Yeah, in the Gulf Coast.
Well, there we go back to Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana again, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what, Frank, the gentleman that you have coming on and the first guest,
yes,
no question that the U.S. government is using this Tesla scalar technology. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we could push a button and let Washington, D.C. be the one that gets wiped out? Would you cry, Frank, or would it be part of time in Arkansas?
I'm not even going to answer that because I'm on a lot of lists, buddy. No,
know,
what I'm saying here... Quite simply.
Me too, and I don't care.
Oh, I don't either. I don't either, but I'm not going to...
I don't care. But if Washington, D.C. got wiped off the face of the earth tomorrow, Frank, I think it would be party time for a lot of people.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter because, again, if politicians set up base camp in Washington, D.C. or in Denver or in Little Rock, it doesn't matter. The place is just a symbol. And just like what we're seeing in the Gulf Coast areas, you've got this ridiculous amount of opulence on one side of the street and just poverty on the other side. That's
well,
how D.C.
some of the people there, most of those people don't even live in hovels. But you can't even call them a hovel. And I wouldn't call giving it too much credit.
And D.C.'s the same situation, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, totally. I mean, they've got such a poor population that if it got wiped out, I'd feel sorry for them, just like I do with what's going on down there. The politicians are scum. They'll always be scum. They don't even deserve our attention or our time, honestly. Or certainly not our emotion. It's hatred and anger. These are very, very expensive emotions. It takes a lot of energy to do that, and I don't have it. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome, my friends, back to the show. We're going to try to get through these calls pretty quick here. We've only got about 25 minutes and counting before our guests join us today. Our first one, James McCanney. Our second one, Kevin Trudeau, both of whom you should know quite well. If not by name, certainly by reputation, certainly by content. All good stuff. Alan, Colorado, go ahead.
Yes, I'm going to finish up here, Frank, by asking the major question here. Those stories about FEMA interfering with the water fuel deliveries and cutting the communication lines. Has anybody confirmed those?
Well, Renee said that was confirmed in the video, but it's hard to... find that transcribed anywhere, but you can't see the video.
Yes, I think I did see Mr. Broussard. So basically, the government is causing more problems than it's curing.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you the
jamming
the
communications
honest...
and everything else. It's something wrong.
I'll give you the honest truth. I probably have, like I said, I did 6 hours of show prep on Monday when I didn't even work. And I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories right here in front of me that I never have time to read. So, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, I've got documented story after documented story, so absolutely. If you're hearing it, odds are, if the source is good, it's probably absolutely right on. But, you know, just like everything else, ask yourself with discernment, is this something that they can use to benefit from? And if so...
yes, absolutely.
Well, that's the main thing. But, yeah, I mean, with stories about photographers being assaulted and their stuff being taken.
And they don't want the information getting out.
Exactly.
Saluting and everything else. Nothing should surprise you anymore.
Absolutely.
Keep up the good work and God bless, sir.
You too, my friend. Drew in Little Rock, welcome to the show.
You hear me?
Yes, I got you now.
All right. God bless you, Frank. You're doing a great job.
Trying, man.
I want to tell you, the people that are listening right now don't realize that even the police in the other cities don't have communication, nor do they have knowledge of what you're saying out here. They don't have knowledge of what those that have television see on the news networks. I flew down yesterday, right after your show started, to Bogalusa, Louisiana, and talked firsthand with a deputy sheriff and an assistant to the police chief of Bogalusa, Louisiana. We flew a generator down there that was direly needed by a health facility. The American public is coming to the aid of the Gulf Coast area in droves. FEMA sucks. Sorry, I'm sorry. If you have to depend on FEMA wherever you are in America, it is evil. There is documentation. There is evidence. There is proof. There are sheriffs. There are deputy sheriffs that are PO'd to the max. They have witnessed FEMA agents, men in uniform with FEMA written on their chest or on their back or on their hat, cutting communication lines. And there are sheriff deputies holding up in some of these places where these emergency communication centers are set to prevent anyone from coming in and disrupting those lines. This is a fact, people. I don't care where you are. I don't care what anybody's saying. This is a fact. We need help in South Louisiana. The American people are coming to the aid. It is a sad state of affairs when the Royal Canadian Mounted Police rescue and fire teams make it to St. Bernard Parish, and yet nobody else from the National Guard or the United States military can go into St. Bernard Parish and help the people in that parish.
Right.
How about Plaquemines Parish? It's underwater. Most of the parish is underwater. We're only talking about 90% of the news is about New Orleans. People, you got to understand, it's just not New Orleans that's hurt. It's all the Gulf Coast. It's the Gulf Coast. It's cities up and down the coast. People, you're not hearing news from Plaquemines, Mississippi. You're not hearing news from Santa Rosa, Mississippi. How about Metairie, Louisiana? Where's the mayor of Metairie, Louisiana? Metairie, Louisiana sits right on the border with New Orleans. The New Orleans mayor has called for an evacuation, full and complete. Thank God there's a lieutenant general down there by the name of Onofre who says, we're not going to participate in this. We're going to deliver food and water to the people. If they're in buildings and we see them, we know where they're at, they're going to get food and water.
That guy's fantastic.
If the mayor wants to evacuate them, he's going to have to use his own police department. Now, I could go on and on, but I did one thing on the way back from Bogalusa yesterday on a plane. There are 11 billionaires in this country that are rated at $231 billion. Of the 11, six of them are the Sam Walton family. Now, if Sam Walton was alive, he'd be worth $91 billion. That's twice what Bill Gates is worth. Now, I'm not knocking Walmart. They're at least they're coming to the front because it's poor people that keep Walmart alive.
That's exactly what I said. Absolutely, right on.
You're doing a fantastic job. Frank, you got the fastest 4 hours of radio. You need 8 hours a day this week. Just
man,
caught up.
If you ever say that again on the radio, I'm going to go down to Little Rock and strangle you.
I'm looking at that you need to be paid $20,000 a week to report this 8 hours a day. I know you're working your tongue off.
Thanks, buddy. You're
working your heart out. You're not even getting to 10% of the news. One thing I need to praise is I need to praise Al in Colorado. Al, your tinfoil made it, and thank God it got here because we're using it to buy another generator to send down to South Louisiana. I want to tell the people out there, there's people out here, people. We're not talking about government agencies. We're not talking about the Red Cross. We're talking about citizens are having to help citizens to escape or help find a place to live. It's citizens helping anybody. It's not FEMA. These jerks in FEMA, these jerks in Homeland Security, they need to be put in front of a firing squad as far as I'm concerned. You go down to South Louisiana and you ask the people if the government down there is helping them, the first thing out of the chief of police, the first thing out of the sheriff from Franklin Parish is going to be, will tell you, I don't want the government here. They're evil. They're hurting me. They're hurting me and my people. Franklin, the city of Franklin, in Franklin Parish, Louisiana, got power yesterday. The lady that runs the 911 emergency service sent me an email asking me or thanking me for offering to help. We need help. I can't go down there. I can't. I don't have a motorhome. You have to be self-sufficient to go down and help. that means you've got to have a place to camp or stay or live or a mobile motorhome. If you've got a motorhome with self-sufficiency, you can come down and help. Otherwise, you're in the way.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I'm worried to death. I've only got three family members that are missing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are not direct family members. Of course, most people outside of Louisiana don't understand those of us in Louisiana. We are Louisianians. We know who our first cousins are by first name, last name, phone number, address. We know who our second cousins are by first name, last name, and address. Most of us even know who our third cousins are. Now, with all of that said, we're helping each other. There were 750,000 people from the New Orleans metropolitan area, specifically New Orleans, that evacuated the city before Katrina. That left about 300,000 in the metropolitan New Orleans area that stuck around. Of that 300,000, they've evacuated 100,000. Now, wait a minute. Now, that still leaves 200,000 people around. There's 10,000 people that are staying in and around New Orleans that are underwater, that are in water-flushed houses. And Onofre has said, if they need water and food, I'm taking it to them. If the mayor wants to evacuate them, he's got to use his police department. We're talking about an evil group of policemen who are beating up on reporters. Evil. I see this. I've seen it on the news. Look at these third police officers are in the back end of a truck, young. We're talking 22, 23 years old, and they got an M16 in their hand, and it's like they're waiting to shoot somebody. They don't want photographers shooting their pictures to show how bad they are. We got people from somewhere on this planet that are wearing FEMA shirts, FEMA hats, that are disrupting communication lines. That means, and they're keeping people from bringing water in boats. There is a lawyer from Lafayette, who took 100 cars and 100 boats over to Jefferson Parish to help, half of them got turned back. Now, we got a problem when we see buses that are shipped in from Atlanta, Georgia, or from St. Petersburg, Florida, coming to Louisiana on somebody else's dime to help the people, and FEMA says, no, we don't need any help. Or somebody at the Game and Fish Commission. Game and Fish? This is one of the lowest government agencies in Louisiana, and they're telling people, we don't need your help. We can handle it.
Yep.
That's a crock of manure.
Drew, let me ask you this. Is this intentionally set up to fail to get this social welfare program implemented?
This is, in my personal eyes,
yep.
Yes. This is being done intentionally to bring forth something, but the police departments in all these smaller cities, they're not going for it. They're not declaring the martial law. And they're telling the governor of Louisiana, you better not declare martial law because we're not going to put up with it. This is, the city of Bogalusa is about 80 miles north by northeast of New Orleans. There are a lot of cities, a lot of small cities that depend on farm growing. They grow strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
They grow sugar cane. People out there, sugar's going to skyrocket. 100% of the grain that is exported from the United States, from Kansas, Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, goes through New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. I just got reports yesterday, Drew, that there are probably about a score of barges that are all just stopped up with, you know, hundreds of tons of food just rotting.
Yeah.
Because they don't have anywhere to unload, and no one is bringing that to the people who could use it.
Bananas. All the bananas that come to the United States that go to the Midwest and to Chicago come from New Orleans. What's really got me torqued is there 1,500, mark this, 1,500 medical doctors and medical personnel trained with 3 and 5 years experience in Venezuela. The Venezuela president has offered to bring into this area along with 20 tons of medical supplies. Granted, 20 tons is only one tractor trailer load.
I know, but Bush said he only wants money.
And they're all saying they only want money. Celeste Dion said it right out. I don't give a damn about money. Who cares about money?
That's right.
She sat there on the tube and cried her eyes out. We don't need money. We need help. That means live bodies who are trained in medicine, who are trained to help people with their cuts. We need medicine. We need this because this is coming from other countries, George Bush is saying, well, we don't need this. We need money. That's a crock of manure. We've got the 341 billionaires in this nation. 341 billionaires. How many millionaires we got? Out of the top 20 billionaires, 11 of them are from the United States. Born and raised here, live here. We don't need money. We got billionaires who are soaking up money. We've got Exxon who's making $50 billion profit, and they're from the rest of the year, if prices stay where they're at, they're making $500 million a day.
Sure.
There's a problem out there, and it's called government. Government is Washington, D.C., is now bringing forth the evil that's orchestrated to bring forth something even more evil than we've got. Mrs. Clinton gets on the idiot box and she wants something done. All of a sudden, she's coming out. This is going to make her look good because she wants something done in this catastrophic problem.
She's a socialist. It's perfect for her.
She is. She's a socialist. This is the perfect thing for her, and the dead-gum Republicans are letting her do it. Now, it's not a Republican-Democrat. I shouldn't even say that. It's the Republicans. The neocons are letting it do it. The New World Order are letting them do it.
Yeah.
In 1927, New Orleans was hit with a flood that was done deliberately. New Orleans rebuilt. The Netherlands is built underwater.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't remember.
The Netherlands is built underwater. In 1955, they had a catastrophic torrential rainstorm, whatever, and they lost two of their main dikes, and 80% of the country was underwater, but they rebuilt. The Netherlands did it. New Orleans can do it. Now, granted, you know for a fact that there's a big toxic dump built in New Orleans. Guess who lives above that toxic dump? All the poor people that didn't have any money to buy a tank of gas to leave town. People are going to blame these people for not leaving? They didn't have any money. They didn't have the money. They don't own cars.
That's right.
They couldn't leave. They were basically says, come to the Superdome. Well, the bottom line now is, if there's a catastrophic thing coming to your area, don't go to a dome because
hell
you're going to
no.
die. They're going to release
no.
police officers. They're going to release crooks into the dome to kill the children and the men. You said it a little while ago about these prisoners being allowed into the dome. 20 of them were pedophiles. And they in 70... Have escaped. They only rounded up 30 that they left out of the 100. Right? They rounded up 30. That was 30 honest ones that they left. Honest criminals. That's kind of hard to say. 30 honest criminals?
Yeah.
How about they were there for not having a driver's license or not paying their taxes or their child support? They weren't real criminals. But the little 7-year-old girl, that was with her neck slashed. And the old man that was found dead. He didn't have any clothes on. Well, who took his clothes? Somebody from jail? Yeah, the word's getting out. It's going around the world. There's a family from Scotland that's reporting the truth about the police officers that wanted women to show their breasts. It just wasn't just showing their breasts. They wanted little sexual favors as well. That is horrible.
Yes.
That is, you want me to tell my friends over the phone? There's no phone communication in New Orleans, Metroplex. Satellite phones cost $1.50 a minute and cost $350 normally. Now, satellite phones in the Metroplex are going for $1,000. And fortunately, they don't have to pay more than $1.50 a minute to talk, but to find a phone costs $1,000. Not even the police departments have satellite phones. They don't have communications because the federal government, FEMA, came in and says, you need to switch to this 800 megahertz band. It's greater. But the 800 megahertz band works from a single tower. That's a bunch of BS. The sheriff, the police officers in Bogalusa have gone back to CBs so they can talk and communicate. Yeah,
amazing.
I'm hot.
Nothing wrong with that, brother.
God bless you, Frank. Keep the great work up. The fastest 4 hours in radio. I don't want you to work 8 hours a day, Frank, but at least you're putting the truth out there.
Well, thank you for all your help, brother.
Anybody else.
God bless you. And, folks, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Good morning, folks. Welcome back. A lot of big issues out there, a lot of news. We'll try to get into some of it after our guests. I'll try to squeeze in a phone call here. But I have to bring you this story. I heard about this. as it was happening, and I've got a transcript, well, you know, a text version. I like to be able to read it. CNN.com last night, it said, add geography to the growing list of FEMA fumbles. A South Carolina health official said his colleagues scrambled Tuesday when FEMA gave only a half-hour notice to prepare for the arrival of a small plane carrying as many as 180 evacuees to Charleston. So in South Carolina, they get a call. FEMA says, hey, we're going to be there in 30 minutes with almost 200 evacuees. Get ready. And they're like, okay. So the plane gets in the air and lands where? It lands in Charleston, but not Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston, West Virginia, 400 miles away. CNN writes, a call seeking comment from FEMA, not immediately returned. You like that? That's FEMA for you, folks. That's your money. Hard at work. I talked to so many people. I donated to the Red Cross. I donated to this. You know what? It's not going to the people who need it. Okay? That's the kind of nonsense that happens when the government's involved with something. Alan, Colorado, Alan, Texas, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. How is your family doing?
Well, I'm a Louisiana Cajun person, or Coonette, as we call them, by proxy, because my husband is from Baton Rouge, and he's both side of his family from Louisiana. We got about 50 of them accounted for. There's probably about 150 we haven't heard from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And my husband's on his way to Covington this morning to help take off trees from his uncle's house. Four trees fell on his house, so probably totally mutilated the house. They did manage to escape eventually. I think they were held up in there 3-4 days before they were able to get help and get out, and then right now they're in Houston with relatives. I'm just really worried for my husband because I don't know what he's going to run into. But let me ask you this. Did you get my email?
When?
A couple of days ago.
Just that you're responding to the phone call message I left you?
Yeah,
I did get that one.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the comment I want to say about Drew. What do you think he would say if he would tell us what he really means and how he really feels?
Well, you know, this is a hard time. There's a lot of angry people out there, and Drew gets people fired up, but I think he focuses their attention on what needs to be done. I mean, Drew could be out there rallying people to go down and have armed, you know, rescue of these people, saying, let's go. And let's rescue them ourselves. But he's not doing that. He's saying, look, we need to get, you know, stop with the money and start with the donations. And that's what I've said the whole time. They can't deposit bottles of water or diapers in their bank accounts. So,
absolutely.
You know, buy some items, yeah.
I hope Drew will call every freaking Patriot radio network and tell them the story that he told today. People need to hear it. They do need to hear it because he went down there. He saw this and he talked to locals. It's important that he calls as many stations or programs or whatever, at least my opinion. I don't think we know the half of it, what's really going on, I'm afraid. And I really feel that I'll wait.
All right, we'll come back, and we'll have to wrap it up pretty quick so we can get to our guests here, folks. Our first of two, stay with us for the second half of the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass.
This edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, plagued with problems, still we continue on. Program heard around the planet, courtesy of the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whale, and glad to have you with us here today. Wednesday, September 7th, 2005, 8 a.m. on the nose here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome aboard, my friends. Please be sure to check our website for updates and information. It's frankly speaking radio.com. Be sure to visit our sponsor there, Lee Kroc. Of course, edkuniversity.com is his website. His phone number is posted right there. He wants to hear from you. He wants to see his numbers, his hits go up on his website. Do that for us. Doesn't cost you anything, and it keeps Lee happy, which means he continues to help us out, and he continues to come on the show. He'll be on this Friday doing another giveaway for the Energy Cleaner. So be sure to send us an email to energycleanergiveaway@yahoo.com. In this time, in this day and age, in these situations, folks, it's important to be on top of these health-related issues, okay? That having been said, our phone number, as always, is 1-800-313-9443. Now, we're coming up on our first guest today, but we do want to... Such a rarity to have Al with us from Texas. Al, go ahead and finish up.
Yeah, I want to finish up real quickly. Okay. In my estimation, they made a great big mistake in allowing this atrocity to happen and to causing it, because these people that are coming out from Louisiana and wherever they're going to end up going, they're going to be talking. So we have either option one, exterminate, option two, mind control, and give them that new, what is it, Inderol that erases your memories and stuff like that. So that's a thought there. The other one I wanted to say is that on CNN last night, I was appalled. A preacher came on touting how the churches were doing such a great job, which is good if that's really happening. But then he turns around and says something very startling. He said, well, you know, you have to have your faith in God or whatever, because when the foreign troops come, or when you end up in a concentration camp, they can't take your faith away. And I thought that was a pretty in-your-face statement.
Now, where did you see this at?
CNN last night.
Really?
Yes, sir. Right about 8 o'clock or so, I was getting ready to go to work. I was appalled. Perhaps I misunderstood something, but I mean, it was very clear to me. But I was appalled that that preacher said that. And then my last comment is, yesterday morning, Petey Jakes, the Reverend Petey Jakes, was just elbow-to-elbow with Lord Bush. So we know where he's coming from or going to. And that's my final comment, and call me sometime. You're doing a great job, and I just love you.
Hey, Al, I really appreciate it. Love you, too. You stay strong for us there.
Okay.
Very much appreciate the call. While we wait on getting our guest on the phone here. Okay. Well, thanks for jumping on that one, Clint. While we wait on our guest to get on the phone, a couple of news updates here. Associated Press today. Crude oil prices dropped further Wednesday as production recovery continued in the U.S. Gulf Coast battered by Hurricane Katrina, but traders are keeping a close eye on another storm brewing off the coast of Florida, which we talked about. That would be Hurricane Ophelia. Or maybe it's a tropical storm at this point. I think it's a tropical storm. But it could get up to hurricane status, is projected to do so. And again, Nate as well is another storm that they're watching. Benchmark light sweet crude for front month October delivery fell 27 cents to $65.69 a barrel mid-afternoon Singapore. That's today. Now, it closed yesterday down also at $65.90. So it's still down where it opens today from where it closed yesterday. Oil prices continuing to drop, folks. How are your costs? Because mine are still the same. I'm sure yours are as well. Stay with us, my friends. We'll be right back with more Frankly Speaking Radio after this. Good morning. Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard planet-wide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We are already past the midway point, and again, a big heartfelt thank you to all of the broadcasting outlets around the country and the world who deem this program worthy of their extremely valuable airtime. I appreciate that, because it is such an important time that we are living in. Such important information is out there, and it's a great opportunity for me to be able to chat with the brilliant minds of our time, and our guest today certainly qualifies as such. Please welcome to the program for the first time, hopefully not the last, James McCanney. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank.
Thank you so much for your time today, sir.
How's my sound here? Is it good?
Sounds great to me.
Good.
It's an honor to have you here. As I said, I've heard you frequently over the years on various programs, and It's just astounding how much information you have. Now, obviously, we don't even have a whole lot of time to get into it because we have had, I'll tell you what, unprecedented technical difficulties today, which is amazing because I've had this happen before. I remember one time talking about the earthquake and bam, Iran. And as soon as I started insinuating that technologies existed, scalar weapons, to facilitate things like earthquakes, bam, we were off the air in the entire city for no apparent reason, and we had to end up canceling the show. But today, we have soldiered on through all this because it's very important information that you have, sir. But obviously, all this stuff, which some people would deem to be fringe information, conspiracy theorist information, whatever the case may be, weather modification, scalar weapons, true or false?
Well, weather manipulation has been a reality for a long time. I first approached the government with some ways back in the mid-90s that I had developed in hopes of averting such disasters as we had in New Orleans. What they did, however, was take that technology and use it for what they're doing now, manipulating storms into populated areas. As this storm was obviously manipulated across Miami, over into the Gulf, and then north up to New Orleans, a lot of people don't realize that as Hurricane Katrina came north, it built into a Category 3 hurricane in record time as it came off of Florida in 30 minutes. And then as it came up to New Orleans, a lot of people don't realize it was headed west of New Orleans. It made a sharp turn south of New Orleans about 100 miles, came due north directly at New Orleans, and as it made landfall down on the peninsula, it made a sharp right turn and went right over the two big refineries that had been missed with the past four hurricanes that went in there in the past year. Now, that area has had five major storms in the past 12 months. This is not normal. And I have the path. When you see the actual path that Katrina followed, you will understand that that storm was manipulated. It was manipulated to do a number of things. One of them was to take out two major refineries that not only refine oil, about 25% of the nation's oil, but they also pipe the oil. The ships come right in right there, and they pipe right up to New York and then off to the west, where there's about 20 more refineries along the Texas coast.
Mm-hmm.
So these are very, very critical facilities for this country. About 25% of the nation's shipping goes in and out of New Orleans port. They destroyed and shut down that port and all of the ports along Biloxi all the way over to Mobile. Then after the storm, actually New Orleans, by the time the storm got up east of New Orleans, it was only a Category 2 storm with winds of less than 100 miles an hour. New Orleans really survived the storm quite well. So it's a misnomer to say that New Orleans was destroyed by Storm Katrina. It survived it. What happened is Tuesday morning, the storm rolled through New Orleans on Monday morning. New Orleans by Tuesday morning was already recovering. Then in Tuesday morning, FEMA, the only people that I can imagine, either FEMA or the Army Corps of Engineers, went in and blew the levees around New Orleans in seven places, literally blew them up to cause the flooding, and that's what really took New Orleans to its knees.
That's amazing information. I have been coming up with similar accounts. Some had said that basically what had happened was is that the levee had broken by itself and that it was weakening in other places, so they decided to simply widen the breach. Have you heard something along those lines, or are you of the mind that it was simply to target the poorer areas rather than the richer areas? And, I mean, we saw the same thing in Florida, did we not, with accounts of the National Guard last year defending and maintaining order in the multi-million dollar mansions rather than, you know, the migrant communities and the trailer parks.
Right. I know some people who live in some of those communities down there, the wealthy ones, and I know people that live in poor communities. And you have to understand FEMA and Homeland Security, which is the boss of FEMA, they have no ability to go in and help people. Their job is to go in and contain the public, move them off into areas, which they did, and then restrict the public from going in and out of certain areas. That's their job. They have paramilitary forces. They have absolutely no this concept that they're a emergency management group that would go in and somehow help people is totally false. They are a paramilitary force. They have their own army, and their job is to contain people and move them out and clean up the dead. Now, if you can imagine, the official death toll in New Orleans is 59. That is the official death toll. And it's so staggering to even imagine that someone would try and print that. Let's go back to Hurricane Andrew in Florida. Mm-hmm. What, 94 was that?
92, yeah.
Yeah, and they, the death toll there, they said, were a few hundred. I have friends who live in that area, went down into the poor regions after Andrew, and they said there were bodies everywhere.
I'll tell you what, Jim, it's really interesting. And I agree with you. It's absolutely ridiculous. I could probably come across story after story after story that just, you know, we'll give a death toll here or a death toll there. You know, the three people that committed suicide in the Superdome, the two police officers who committed suicide, the two people who died from carbon monoxide poisoning. We could just go ahead and raise all these numbers in and of themselves, and we could easily supersede 59. But I had a guy on the ground in Florida last year who got caught between two hurricanes, went down to help, I think, after one, and then got stuck there for the next one, because as we saw, it was 4 in 6 weeks, and one of those, as we know, turned around, doubled back, and hit it again. So, obviously, very unnatural processes. But this guy on the ground, he said, look, they have totally contained this area. They are shipping bodies out in refrigerated trucks, which, you know, last year that was a conspiracy theory, and now that's the official plan of action for Louisiana. It's ridiculous. But he said there were so many bodies, Jim, buried under the sand, that they were just shutting down the whole area. They did not want people there. But, I mean, it's ridiculous to look at these things and expect an honest reckoning in the media. It's not going to happen. I mean, Andrew was in 92. There are still people deemed missing, you know, from that hurricane. I mean, can we not officially say that they're dead at this point?
Well, it's absolutely ridiculous. The other thing that happened after... Now, you have to understand, FEMA was sent in for one purpose. Their job was to clear out New Orleans. And people have asked me, why would they do that? Well, this is the New World Order. You have to understand. This is the Bush-Clinton group, and I have to emphasize that Clinton has to be included in this because they are all part of this same operation. The object of FEMA was to clear out that city. They came in, and after the city had recovered, even after the levees broke, a lot of people were still there. They were not going to leave, and the Homeland Security came in probably around Friday and ordered everybody out. When it was clear, the levees could be patched, and a good part of the city could be saved still. Now, I have to understand, the reports of 80% of New Orleans underwater, that's like Bernard County, or Parish, I mean, and Jefferson Parish down in the south, where it's very, the land is a lot lower. A lot of New Orleans actually survived this and is still surviving. There are reports of people driving around the streets. I saw the New Orleans, I saw live cam photos of New Orleans on Monday night, and it was raining. They had 7 inches of rain, which is not unusual. New Orleans can easily have a 7-inch rainstorm just out of a regular storm. So you got to understand, Katrina was not a big deal for New Orleans. What was a big deal is when they blew the levees. Then the news got whitewashed. You have these scientists, and this angers me as a scientist, that people will come out and make up these stories like, oh, the eye of the hurricane went to the east side of Lake Pontchartrain and forced this 25-foot wall of water across and it broke the levees. And it's absolute garbage. Yet the USA Today and the other newspapers will print this. Then it doesn't explain the other questions. Why did the levees break on the river and the canal side?
Yeah.
There was no surge there. You know, the questions, the scientists are whitewashing the news out of stupidity. You know, the fact that most meteorologists don't know that storms can be manipulated.
Absolutely. Jim, I'm sorry to interrupt. If I could, we have a quick commercial break to contend with.
Sure.
Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back. Very, very privileged to have our guest with us here today, James McCanny. His website, jmmccannyscience.com. Fantastic site. Lots of great information. Be sure to check that out. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Good morning, my friends. Welcome back. You are listening to our Wednesday edition, midweek already. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, heard planet-wide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome. Our guest today, again, you should definitely check out his website. Just a whole slew of information there. JMMcCanneyScience.com. Please welcome back to the show. Jim McCanney, again, thank you so much, sir, and please continue.
Okay, thank you, Frank. By the way, to your listeners on my website, mm-hmm. it's JMCC, and if you misspell it, like you said, Frank, J.M. McCanney,
yes.
you will actually end up on one of those CIA sister sites.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, JMCCanneyScience.com. I wanted to tell you people, too, that we'll have that. If it's not already done, I haven't checked it yet. It will be linked up through our site as well, so people can easily do that. But also, yeah. of course, they can just type your name into a website, and they'll come up with it as well. As long as it has the science in there, they'll be able to find it fairly easily, I think.
There's about 30 sites that if you drop a C or an N or, say, Jim McCanney or J.M. McCanney,
yeah.
you will end up at a CIA website.
Oh, wow.
And it is not my website, so yeah.
I appreciate the clarification, absolutely.
And so when you link it up, make sure it's the right one, you know.
Yes, sir.
It's JMCCANNEYScience.com. So anyway, on with what's the topic here. Right now, the very critical situation, for example, in Minnesota, we have 5,000 refugees coming to Minnesota. In my own investigation, I found out that nobody in the public is going to be allowed to talk to these people. They're being moved up to Camp Ripley, which is a military guard base where they do training. It's used for the military training. And right now we're finding out that these tens of thousands of people are being brought to military bases and being held behind barbed wire. A lot of the parents have been separated from their kids, and they have no ability to talk to the public or the news media. This is going on right now. These people are being treated like prisoners of war, and there's story after story of mothers being separated from their kids. So this is there's a lot more going on that people have to really start understanding and start doing something about. We're living in a time that's very critical. The evacuation of New Orleans did not work. The New World Order is not getting their way, and it's really a big fiasco for them because they thought they could clear that city out, and a lot of people have asked, why would they want to do that? New Orleans is a geographically critical area to the world. It's the fifth largest port in the world, and if you want to control this country, you need to control New Orleans. You have to understand that the things that are going on here rise way above just average, everyday occurrences. This storm was manipulated for a reason, to shut down New Orleans, and when it didn't work, they went in and blew the levees. FEMA has, a lot of people are criticizing FEMA for not responding, the late response and everything. You have to understand, their goal was not to go down and save anybody. Their goal was to go down and evacuate that area. They failed. And so there's a lot going on here.
One of the things that I was discussing today, one of my little, I guess, diatribes, I was mentioning about when you look at how the situation has gone in New London, Connecticut with the eminent domain type situation, it's very possible we'll see the same sort of thing happen here. In regarding the rebuilding, that's if it happens at all, saying, hey, look, a significant portion of the income for this entire area is tourism and industry, so we're just going to go ahead and say all the people who have been evacuated, all the refugees who we're not allowed to call refugees anymore, we're going to go ahead and confiscate that land, and we're just going to go ahead and build industry because we need to get money back in before we can move any people back in, so all the rebuilding allocations would go towards that. Do you see that as coming as well?
Absolutely. This, in no uncertain terms, is ethnic cleansing.
Yes, absolutely.
lifestyle. That is the only term you can call it. It's ethnic cleansing. It is definitely to get the people out of there. One thing I should mention, I lived in New Orleans. I went to school there. I went to Tulane University. I lived there, and I saw the levee system, the pumps, you know, the generator backups. They were prepared, and that city did survive. And there's no way that all those levees blew at one time the way they did. They were, if you look at the pattern of the levees, the breaches, that was planned to flood the city. They were spaced evenly on the Lake Pontchartrain side and evenly down the river and up on the canal side. It was intentional. There's no question that this was done to evacuate that city. Now they're using the excuse, oh, there's going to be typhoid. And you have to understand that the death toll during the hurricane probably was under 100. Less than 100 people probably died in New Orleans during the actual and because of the hurricane. The flooding and the inability of people to move, or the people who drowned in their attics, etc., is probably in the tens to possibly up to even 100,000 people. And so this was, and all of those people, or 99% of them, could have been saved if there was a concerted government effort in there even after the levees broke. But their goal was...
Sorry, I was just going to say, such a heartbreaking situation, and we have another break, unfortunately, my friend. Please stay with us, folks. I will be right back with our guest today, Jim McCanney, and more Frankly Speaking Radio. Good morning, my friends. Welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Well, and our guest today, Jim McCanney. Welcome back to the show, Jim. Sorry we had to interrupt there. You know, it's such a heartbreaking situation watching all this stuff. And now, of course, today they're talking about mandatory evacuations, which, of course, they said they can do that by force if they need to. Now, Mayor Rand Agin today, I guess maybe it was yesterday, loudly proclaiming that he never said that refugees wouldn't be given supplies if they refused to leave. And yet we have that exact story saying that he did say that on Monday. Now they're talking about removing them by force. We've got stories from photographers who were beaten and basically had all their equipment confiscated by police officers and whatnot after these photographers had photographed shootouts with looters and different sort of encounters of what is going on down there. I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better.
I believe so, too. I noticed there's a complete blackout. Something I started noticing as early as last Wednesday, right after the levees broke, because they kept showing the same pictures, and there were no real pictures of downtown. And then I started getting reports that actually much of New Orleans was dry. And so, you know, and here we all had these aerial views of houses underwater, and, you know, they were just little snapshots of small areas. So, yeah, there's absolutely a news blockout. That's the other thing FEMA does. There's reports of Navy ships offshore jamming communications, and FEMA cutting phone lines of sheriffs, etc. You know, this is, it is so bizarre what's going on. It's like a war against FEMA, between FEMA and the local authorities there.
You know, it's one of the things that I was commenting on today, Jim, that I found to be really suspicious. Is that, I think it was the day after, they said, look, we need mandatory evacuations, we want everybody out of here. One of the first people to announce they were leaving was the Times-Picayune, which I thought was very strange, because you would think, certainly media in general, would be essential to people, especially, in, you know, a hometown newspaper sort of thing. I mean, I know it's huge, but that's what they know in New Orleans. So you've got this newspaper, which can be a centralized location, and has proven to be an amazing source of accurate information to a point, I think. They leave. They pick up and leave, and they've still been doing things on the Internet, but they up and leave. And then, obviously, I was thinking about it, why have a mandatory evacuation of all personnel, including the media, when you've got media access to get information out? It seemed to me that they were trying to keep the footage out, basically. And then, of course, we start seeing things like when Bush went down there to give his little, you know, public appearances, his photo ops, in which they had staged various reconstruction projects. I'm sure you saw that. But every time they would show that, it didn't say live on these mainstream broadcasts. It said new video. And the most peculiar thing, Jim, I'm sure you noticed this as well, CNN, Fox, Headline News, MSNBC, all these 24-hour news networks, they were running the new video. You had the caption, and they were all running it at the exact same time, implying that they all got the feed fed from somewhere else. This is officially vetted, officially sanctioned, palatable for public consumption videotape.
Well, it's amazing the coordination. What people have to understand is the tens of thousands of people it takes to coordinate this effort to reduce that area to nothing, to evacuate all the people, to coordinate the news media, to block information. There was an interview, for example, on Meet the Press on Sunday morning where two scientists stated that the hurricane was only a Category 2 when it got to Lake Pontchartrain, basically stating that there's no way it could have caused the levees to breach. When you look at the transcript of this, that all that is taken out. It's all edited out. It's taking tens of thousands of people in a concerted effort to whitewash the news, to go down, I mean, it's to have the Navy ships offshore jamming communications for FEMA to be in there. They needed explosives to blow the levees. They have so much in place, and there are so many people that are in this effort that it is mind-boggling. Most people don't realize this. Now, what bothered me, too, is in these photo ops with Bush, he just seems like, oh, there's nothing wrong here. Well, in his mind, there probably isn't, because this is their plan. It's not going well for them in the sense that they didn't clear New Orleans out. There's going to be a shooting match down there, because I can tell you something from living in New Orleans. Those people love their city. They're not going to leave. They're not going to give that up. They want to rebuild. And they've gone through hardships before.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans is unlike, say, Florida, where the people are more transient. So they come and go. They don't have real history there.
Yes.
New Orleans does.
That's right.
So they picked the wrong place to start their little program.
I agree. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I agree wholeheartedly. It's a place I go to as often as I can afford to. I love that town. And when I go there, I don't go there like a tourist. I stay, you know, at a hostel or, I make sure, I wash my clothes at the laundromats. I shop at the grocery stores. I love that area. I just love the history of it and everything about it. And, a lot of this stuff, it's really, like I said, it's infuriating. And you can see these things are being covered up. I had an account that somebody called me with on Friday. And I've not been able to find this videotape. I have not been able to find it transcribed anywhere. Maybe you've seen it. But in one of these interviews with Bush on the ground talking to people, somebody said that it was a devastating weapon, Hurricane Katrina was. And I was wondering if you had heard that. Now, again, that's just a one person that had told me that. I trust the person implicitly, but I've not seen it.
That Bush said it was a devastating weapon?
Yes.
Wow. No, I had not seen that myself.
Okay. I will try to hunt that down for you. But I have got an extremely credible report that somebody had seen that. I can only hope that somebody grabbed some videotape on it.
Because, see, that's why they don't let him out. Well, they let him out with a very short leash, because he's an idiot. And he says stuff.
Yes.
Some of the stuff he comes out with. And that's why, frankly, after his term, if we ever get there,
yes,
if he ever gets there, they're not going to let that guy down the street to buy bubble gum, because he's going to spill the beans, you know. He's not smart enough. Bill Clinton was smart. Bill could lie to your face just and shake your hand and stab you in the back all at the same time. But George Bush, W. Bush, is a moron. This guy couldn't run a used car dealership in a little town in Texas. So, I mean, they've got a real problem with him.
I tell you what, it's really sick, Jim, watching these different interviews and whatnot. And you see him, and he always looked a little off. But, I mean, he looks outright insane these days, doesn't he? He's just got this sheen, this maniacal grin, and this goofy look in his eye.
Yeah.
It's scary.
There are reports that I've gotten, and I don't have firsthand information, where he's having these rages in the White House and yelling at staff and just, you know, strange behavior. The guy is a real mixed bag. And from teaching and from dealing with people in all, you know, types of business and just science, all of the things I've done, I would consider the guy schizophrenic and in need of serious psychological treatment just from looking at him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions then about this. I mean, weather modification has been in place since basically around, what, the 40s? I think it's the first story that I've come out with it.
But yeah, there are patents that go back to the 40s.
Okay.
Where they, and they, I should say this, they really didn't know what they were doing. They were just beaming energy around and doing different things. Now it's down to a controlled science. And the way they do it now is with satellites, laser satellites. And I've identified probably three satellites that have this capability. And they can drag those, like you said, that the Hurricane Gene, they went north, east, south, west. I mean, those, they can drag those right where they want them. But, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just, it's really amazing. So this is accurate enough to get a bullseye on a various location? I mean, things like a city, do you think that they can...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And like I said, Katrina came up. It was going west to New Orleans. It swung like a curveball straight up to New Orleans, and the second it hit land, it made almost a 90-degree turn right. It went up on the south side of Lake Pontchartrain, quite a ways, probably 50 miles away where the eye was, and then it went over those two major refineries, and then it hooked a major left turn so that to the average observer, it looked like it was a continuous straight path north.
Now, this ties in with what we talked about last year as well, and we all remember that, you know, Florida was a big voting area of contention, and then 2004 hurricane season, you have all of these little communities just annihilate again. Four hurricanes, but five impacts in 6 weeks. That's unprecedented. A lot of bodies unaccounted for, still people deemed missing. And then I'm sure you watched for this, too, and you probably saw the same thing I did, which is I think it was 36,000 absentee ballots had gone missing in Florida. So, of course, you know, you can basically go ahead and say, you know, A plus B equals C. And looking at this, it seems reasonable to assume that some of those people who are quote-unquote missing did, in fact, file absentee ballots in advance, or at least that's how it appears.
Oh, yeah. Those hurricanes, three of them came within a 10-mile circle in south-central Florida. These hurricanes were absolutely controlled. Katrina, when it came north along the east side of Florida, the normal predicted path for that storm would have been to veer off the east side of Florida and go up to the Carolinas. That would have been the historical predicted path based on past hurricanes. But it hooked left, went across Miami, and then actually turned left and south, an unprecedented move, went southwest across the Gulf, and as soon as it was due south of New Orleans, it made a hard right turn and due north. Unbelievable.
Now, let me ask you, is this something that, I mean, we all know about the powers that be and the interconnectedness of the various governments and whatnot, but a lot of people have suggested that this is a weather war type of scenario between the United States and the Soviet Union. Do you see it as a very subtle political intrigue, or do you see it as outright collusion at the highest levels?
It's absolutely being done within this country and coordinated. You have to understand that the what I call the secret societies. One of their front agencies worldwide is the World Bank, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. The Bushes and the Clintons are the representatives in this country. They're the so-called clean, what would you call them, the people that are going to be in office. If you've noticed, the Bushes go way back to when Kennedy was killed, Kennedy Sr., you know, John Kennedy Jr., when his plane supposedly crashed, he was going to run against Hillary in New York. She wouldn't have had a Chinaman's chance of winning in New York.
That's right.
Like John Kennedy Jr. It would have been the biggest embarrassment, and he died and she won. So anyway, you have to understand the overall picture here. It is, and I get angry again at scientists and some people who claim to be weather experts on weather manipulation, which many of them are not. But they claim to be, or they have internet sites, and they're saying that Russia is doing this, or one guy is saying Iran is doing this. No, this is being done by our own military. your tax dollars at work here. The satellite is controlled by the United States. They are paid for by the United States. They're owned and operated out of the Space Control Center in Colorado Springs. Our very own people are doing this. So make no mistake about it. I will go on record as saying that, and I will stand by that.
It's fantastic to have this out there and to have this all backed up. With your background, I mean, we're talking about 100% pure science. People cannot refute this. This is not fringe. This is not conspiracy, at least not theory anyway. You can look at it and say all this adds up. It's completely logical and very well resourced. What do you think about the suicides and all that stuff? I mean, certainly the situations in Florida last year, in the Gulf Coast this year, in Indonesia in December, all these different things, in Iran a year and a half ago, all of these natural disasters, which happened with a fairly regular amount of time seeming to pass in between them, there's always stories about suicides and whatnot, and people obviously living through that are going to be very hard pressed to find a reason to go on at times. But one of the things we've talked about with things like HARP and whatnot, you have the ability to alter mood. Do you see that coming into play at all as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the crowd control and the psychological control, all of this has been worked on. The Black Ops people have been working on this for ages. Right now we're expecting some kind of biochemical event in the New Orleans area to create the mass evacuation. I mean, the levee breaking didn't work. It's very clear that they could go in with those kind of weapons and control the public to get them out of there. They want that area cleared out, and it's going to be a real mess because those people don't want to leave. But I do suspect they're going to be using that. And by the way, to divert attention from New Orleans, a lot of people are expecting the two places most picked by people are Los Angeles and Chicago for some kind of so-called terror event. And I think we're all on the same page that 9/11 was meant to get the New World Order laws in place.
Yes.
All of that, on the next day after that, 100-0 vote after vote after vote by Congress. Basically, and there were some people that didn't get the vote in that, like a guy named Paul Wellstone, who wouldn't go along with any of this. He was a senator from Minnesota who was killed in a plane crash. The plane blew into five pieces, 1,000 feet off the ground, as it came in on a quiet morning in Minnesota.
Yeah, and then of course his funeral service used as a political rally, just disgusting. I remember watching that; it's awful.
Right, and they made sure that his wife and daughter, the other two people who could have won the election in his place, were on the plane also. It's very clear these people are very busy. It takes a lot of people to coordinate this, and that's the biggest thing. You have to understand that there have been a lot of people who've been promised big things, and they are carrying out their orders.
Oh, yeah. It's something else. Jim, let me interrupt briefly for a quick break. Folks, we'll come back, and we'll wrap up with our guest today, James McCanney. Stay with us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future.
Good morning, my friends. Good morning. Welcome back to the dwindling moments here of hour number 3 of our Wednesday edition, Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Will, and our guest today, Jim McCanney, is with us. His website, jmccanneyscience.com, jmccanneyscience.com. Check it out. There's so much information in there, and you really need to spend some time there. So make it a point, my friends, to do so. Jim, welcome back, and again, thank you so much. Looking ahead, obviously, you can say we've got the anniversary of September 11th coming up. We've got Nate and Ophelia to deal with as possible problematic storms that are coming. It seems to me that if Al-Qaeda were a legitimate organization, at least a legitimate organization made up of radical Islamic cave-dwelling turbaned insurgents who really wanted to hurt America because of our values and our freedoms, that they would have struck last week.
Oh, absolutely. And it begs the question, if you were a terrorist, wouldn't you just keep doing it over and over again? We had one 9/11, and
yeah,
that was it.
That was it.
They never did anything again. And there's all these sleeper cells and all of this stuff. These are well orchestrated, and these guys know now that every cop in the country, all they would need is some off-duty cop come around the corner at the wrong time and catch our own good old CIA boys planting a bomb or something. And, you know, like the one in London, they found out bombs were under the buses, so nobody could have possibly. But the news keeps pounding this, and they show a picture of some Arab guy saying he's the one, you know, of a guy that died in the blast, you know. I mean, this is all well orchestrated, but back to your point, there would be terrorist events going on in little mom-and-pop grocery stores. I mean, that's the kind of thing they would do to keep everybody off guard.
Yeah.
But it hasn't happened. It's very clear who is the terrorist, who they are, what their agenda is, and the control of the news media. You have to understand that all these techniques have been used before throughout history. The textbook has been well written. The control of money, fake money, for example, the IMF. Most people don't realize that all of this money being spent in Iraq on the war is going on the U.S. credit card. We owe the World Bank for this. We're being treated like a third world country in the United States, and our bill has not come in. So when you pump $3 a gallon of gas in your car, the $10 per gallon to pay for the war in Iraq and Afghanistan has yet to come in.
Absolutely, and you know, anyone who spent some time on your site knows that you know, you've done extensive research and wow, just so much work with the Tesla technologies. If I'm not mistaken, Nikola Tesla had some successful tests of materials and energy sources that just blow ours away at this day and age, and that was probably, I don't know, almost 100 years ago. I mean, would you say that's fairly accurate from the top of my head?
Yeah, he was active in the late 1800s, and most of his inventions were online before the year 1900. But no question about it, he had built the energy extractors. I've got a picture of one. I leave it there right on my homepage for that reason, because most people don't realize the size and scope of what he did. All of our energy should be free. We should be running electric cars. This oil thing is a giant fiasco and a mess.
Absolutely. Jim, I'll tell you what, we are out of time, my friend. Please come back soon. You've got all the time in the world. God bless you and all that you do, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Frank, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Folks, stay with us.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders.
Hey, my friends, good morning and welcome back. You are listening to the fourth and final hour, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. Heard planet-wide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Thanks for being here with us today, and I think you guys are going to be very excited by what we have to offer in the way of our next guest here. You've heard of him before. You've probably seen him as well, and I think it's amazing stuff. So before we go to him, though, let me read something to you. This is an amazing section of the book, Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. It's just from the disclaimer, and here's what he writes. It's unbelievable to me in this day and age that the world has come to this. It pains me I must write a disclaimer at the beginning of this book. Imagine, a person who is supposed to be allowed to express his opinions under the banner of free speech must still put a disclaimer as a preface to his words, thoughts, and opinions. Heaven forbid someone reads these words and claims to be adversely affected by them, and thus ensuring a barrage of lawsuits filed under the guise of protecting the unknowing victims who were stupid enough to read this and believe it. In reality, these lawyers are squashing the rights of people like myself from freely expressing their ideas. So with a figurative gun to my head, I write these words, quote, before you read this book, you'd better check with your medical doctor, your friends, your politicians, your priest, your rabbi, your psychic, and anyone you feel is smarter than you, and see if you can get permission to read what I have to say, end quote. So that having been said, I think no better introduction could be made for our guest today, the author of the book, Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. Please welcome to the program, Kevin Trudeau.
Hello there.
Thank you so much for your time today, sir.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.